We call your attention to the verses 5 and 6 in the passage that we read, 2 Corinthians 13, where we read God's word as follows: Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. The Apostle Paul, before closing this second epistle to the Corinthians, turned around, as it were, upon his detractors. They had been questioning his authority and disparaging his claims. And he had been defending himself and asserting his apostolic rights. But was this as it should be? How was it with themselves, that is, with the Corinthians? They were very eager to test him, to compel him to verify his claims. Why should they not be asked whether their own position was assured, whether their own professions were justifiable? Let them examine, test, and prove themselves. This is something that I think that all of us are called to do, not only when we are approaching or on the Sunday before we celebrate the Lord's Supper, but I think that on a constant basis, we are called to examine ourselves, to prove ourselves, to test ourselves. And so, with that thought in mind, we speak on examining ourselves, or prove your own selves. See, in the first place, it's meaning. In the second place, it's reality. And in the third place, it's assurance. First of all, then, the idea of proving or testing or examining. When it is used in an evil sense, the word means to tempt, to entice to evil or to sin. As in James 1, verse 13, where we read, Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempteth no man. Here, in the text, it is used in the good sense and has the meaning to try or to test. Involved is the idea to subject to a test, as coins or other metals are tested to determine their genuineness and their full weight. As in James, again, the first chapter, the second and third verse, count it all joy, my brethren, knowing that the proving or the testing of your faith worketh patience. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, prove all things or test everything, as another version has it. Hold fast that which is good. Hold on to the good. And so we understand that Christians, that is, you and I, are summoned, are called to a twofold testing. We are to test or to prove, on the one hand, what is the will of God. Now, maybe that sounds a little strange, but sometimes we imagine that our conscience only is our guide. But unless conscience is guided and enlightened by the word, we can be led astray. Notice what Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 12. He says, Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Notice, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And in Ephesians 5, For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. So that then we come in that way to understand what the will of God really is. But on the other hand, and that's the theme of the text, of course, we are also summoned to test or called to test the genuineness of our own faith. The Corinthians who celebrated, this is in 1 Corinthians 11, the Corinthians who celebrated the Lord's Supper in an undisciplined and unworthy manner are challenged. But let a man prove himself, test himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. In Lamentations 3, verse 40, we read, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. As we test our ways to determine the genuineness of our faith. And so that is to be done in various ways. It certainly is to be done with perfect truthfulness. We can fool ourselves very easily when we look at ourselves, when we want to test our faith, when we want to evaluate, if I may use that word, our relationship to Jesus Christ. It is very easy to deceive ourselves. And so if we are going to determine the genuineness of our own faith, we have to be very, very honest with ourselves on the standard of God's own word under the omniscient and all-seeing and all-searching eye of God, with prayer and by pressing home the question, is Christ really in me? Is Christ really in me? Now the text says, try your own selves, whether you are in the faith. The word faith is also used with more than one meaning. We can look at it on the one hand as objective faith. That is the objective doctrine and confession which all true believers have. There's a little book here on the pulpit. It says the doctrinal standards of the Reformed Church in America. Well, you're still using that, but that's what we're talking about. Churches are based on the Word of God and on the Reformed, for you and me at least, on the Reformed standards, which are the interpretation or a further statement of what the Word of God teaches us. In some of the forms that are used for confession of faith, public profession of faith, the person is asked, do you sincerely believe the doctrine contained in the Old and the New Testaments and the articles of the Christian faith and taught in this Christian church to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation? And that's important. That's important. If it is indeed the doctrines contained in the Old and the New Testaments and contained and taught here in this Christian church in the articles of the Christian faith to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, then it's important, is it not? That we have the right doctrine, that we hold fast to what the Scripture teaches and to what the church through the ages has expressed and put down and written in the doctrinal standards upon which the church stands. But there is also, on the other hand, what we call a subjective faith. The text says, whether you are in the faith. We test ourselves. Many people test themselves frequently, but generally upon points of secondary importance. But this is the question of questions, whether we are in the faith. And we can begin to respond to the question whether we are in the faith or not by asking ourselves some questions. First of all, whether we truly repent of sin. Do we grieve? Do we grieve over evil as that which has been done against the most high majesty of God himself? Do we hate sin? Do we hate it? Really hate it? Loathe it? Desire to be free from it? Or then again, do we have, and then we are examining ourselves, do we have a living faith, a relationship to our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we gratefully receive him as our Redeemer and believe that his blood cleanses us from all sin? Have we come to God by Christ and obtained his forgiveness? These are questions whether we are in the faith personally, subjectively, consciously. And is the vitality of our faith demonstrated by the fruits of holy living? Holy living. If we are in the faith, we shall be subject to God, striving daily to do his will, living and laboring to please him, and to extend his glory in the earth, in every relationship of life, and in every circumstance. And this applies to every one of us, in every relationship in which we stand. Is the vitality of our faith, is the relationship in which we stand to Jesus Christ of such a nature that it can be seen in our lives? We're going to go into that a little deeper in just a moment. But I think that that's something that we have to face. I say in every relationship, parents, children, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, employers, employees, members of the church, one to another. Are we setting forth the glory of God in the fruits of holy living? We may still be very imperfect, and we realize that we are, and we acknowledge that we are. But having been, as we believe, born again, we will endeavor to walk to the utmost of our ability in newness of life. We said there's a reality involved in this that involves putting ourselves to the proof. The apostle says, or do you not fully know yourselves? That is, realize concerning, let's say, ourselves, this essential, that Jesus Christ is in us. This alone can be the alternative. Either we are in him or not in him. Either he is in us or he is not in us. It's just that simple. The Corinthians and we must have the realization. Unless you, he says, indeed are disproved, fail the test, or disqualified, that is, tested and found false, spurious, either not believing the real gospel, but something else, or only pretending to believe the gospel while not really believing it at all. Our version, the version that we have here in the King James, uses the word reprobate, a word that is forcefully used in 1 Corinthians 9:27 by the Apostle Paul himself when he says, "But I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." A castaway is the way the text reads, a castaway. Of course, it stands to reason if the Corinthians and we, and the lesson, of course, is for us today. If we do not truly know that Jesus Christ is in us, if in fact we are spurious, that is, acting as if we are believers but not really believers at all, then we do not feel, we will not feel like trying and proving whether we are in the faith. And we may hold, and I think that's a scriptural, we may hold to a form of godliness but lack a reality, a subjective reality of that faith in our hearts. And the question that the Word of God raises here probes. That's why we said we have to deal with the reality. It does not mince matters in the least. And this question, whether we are in the faith, whether we know with respect to ourselves that Jesus Christ is in us, is not only addressed to the Corinthians long ago, but it is addressed to you and me today, here, now. Whether Christ is in us. Older people, younger people, mature people, boys and girls, makes no difference. And true believers never resent that. Only people who could not stand such a test are resentful of being put, as it were, on the spot. Note the expressions in the text, to be in the faith and Jesus Christ in you. Each defines, as we suggested before, each defines the other. He is in us when we are in him. And it may be expressed in either way. Think of what Jesus says in John 15. I am the true vine and ye are the branches. It speaks of a living relationship in which we stand to the vine, to Jesus Christ. And even as the vine dispenses or spreads life, if I may say it that way, to the branches, so it is true that if we are in Jesus Christ, then the life that is in Christ is also in us. His resurrection life, the triumphant life that he obtained by his obedient suffering and death on the cross, and his glorious resurrection and ascension to God's right hand. The Apostle Paul says to the Galatians, does he not? It is no more I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Is that the reality in your life, in mine? We are talking about what may be called the mystical union. The mystical union. Paul uses here in the text under the inspiration of the Spirit, he uses the simplest form of the name, Jesus Christ, because the test he wants us to make is not to be involved or difficult. It's not difficult for us, is it, to determine whether Jesus Christ is in us? We realize that Jesus Christ is in us when our hearts hold fast to him in trust and respond to the instruction of his word, and we live in obedience before his face. And only the absence of these reactions could prove the absence of Jesus Christ in us. And we are to be put to the test, not sometime when it is convenient or at some future time when it seems that that our life becomes somewhat difficult or we are in an emergency. We are to be put to the test before our own conscience that is illuminated by the Spirit of God and before the Word of God that makes it plain to us, the basis on which we are to determine whether Jesus Christ is in us. Before the church and before God himself. If we stand before the face of God, we cannot lie. We cannot have pretense. We cannot make believe before the face of God, because he knows our hearts. It's not just our words, just not what is in our mind, but he knows what's in our hearts. And so the question is Christ in you? Before the face of God himself. So that we may come to the assurance that we are not rejected, not reprobate, not disqualified. Paul says he is confident that the Corinthians are not spurious, that is, making believe that they are believers. There were a lot of problems in the church at Corinth, and he writes to them in some very severe language. And he says to them, if I come to you, I will not spare. And yet if you look at the beginning of both the first and the second epistles to the Corinthians, he addresses them as saints, as beloved in the Lord, as heirs of eternal life. And so he says here also, or certainly it is understood, that he is confident that the Corinthians are not just making believe to be Christians. They are not just making believe to walk in the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that therefore he who brought the word of God to them on the basis of which they believed under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that he cannot either be rejected, even though they challenge him to question the authority that he has to address them as he does. But that same confidence must characterize us in our relationships to one another. The question is Christ in you? Is Christ in you? And when you put me to the test, you recognize Jesus Christ in me. And I say that humbly. And that when I examine myself before the face of God on the basis of his own revelation to us, that I can say, yes, Jesus Christ is in me. And I am in him. And then, I also want to say that about you. That you can say the same, that Jesus Christ is in you. And that when we look at one another, and when we deal with one another, And when we come together to worship with one another, that we say Jesus Christ is here in our midst because he is in me. He is in me and he is in you. And we have fellowship together in Jesus Christ, in the power of his Spirit. And then we can exhibit a unity and a oneness that is to his praise. You want assurance? Assurance. It is not based on something that we do. You realize that. Although we are to look for the evidences of faith in us, according to Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 32, we may be reassured when we see the love of God in our lives and the love of the brethren manifesting itself among us and the love of walking in his ways and doing his will. And yet, of course, we understand that we rest only on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The assurance that we have, the assurance that is ours, is based on Jesus Christ and on Jesus Christ alone. And only as we stand in a living relationship to Jesus Christ, know him, confess him, follow him as our Savior and our Lord, can we have the assurance that he is in us, that we are in the faith, and that he, and that's the second point, that he that has begun a good work in us, as Paul writes to the Philippians, that he that has begun a good work in us will surely finish it, even till the day of his coming. Jesus, as he prays in the great high priestly prayer in John 17, that he of those that the Father has given him, he has lost none save the son of perdition, that he might go to his own place. His blood, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, his shed blood is the sufficient payment for all of our sins. And then I'm listening. I don't expect you to respond audibly, but I'm listening. And I can tell in how you live, in how we live, and in what we do, and how we conduct ourselves in relationship to one another, whether Jesus Christ is in us. Is he in you? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we recognize that we are called to give account of our faith, as we know thee as our Father, and Jesus Christ as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, drawing us together, communicating to us all the privileges of grace that are in Christ, that we are called to confess, to acknowledge that Christ is in us. And that because he is in us, we love thee, we love one another, we love thy church, and we love the day of the coming of Jesus Christ. To that end we pray, come, Lord Jesus, yea, come quickly. Amen.